He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Christ, by the glory of the Father, has been raised unto new life, having put under his feet sin, death, and the devil. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sabbath is over, yet is the dawn of a new Sabbath, the day of resurrection. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary hasten to see the tomb of Jesus. Their grief draws them there to see the final resting place of Jesus. The grave is all that they have left. Their business was death. But time is of no importance now. The end times drama of the world itself is being transformed from the inside out, from the grave outward. Earthquakes, signs, and wonders turn our eyes from the two grieving women to the one of heaven bursting open to rattle the earth and the bones that lie beneath it. An angel of the Lord, a messenger of God, is sent forth to interrupt the business of death with the business of life. The guards are paralyzed with fear. They're like dead men. The women, too, are fearful, yet they are drawn into this mystery, this dramatic event upon which they have stumbled. The angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." To grasp the shock of the women at the tomb, we must attempt to grapple with and go back to Good Friday, the site of Jesus' death. It's hard for us to understand, really. We know the story. We love to tell the story. We come on Good Friday and we know that Sunday is coming. Or we don't come on Good Friday because we know that Sunday is coming. We have trouble seeing what they saw, in part because we didn't see it, but more so because we take for granted what it truly means. We pretend that we get it, but we really don't. It's kind of like a show that we dress up for. It's like a game that we half-heartedly play. Jesus is dead, but hey, come Sunday, he will rise and we'll all crowd into church. But you must know that for these women, it was no show. There was no pretending. Good Friday, though it was not a funeral for Jesus, I bet you the farm it felt like that to those women. They felt exactly the same way that you do when you are at a funeral, at the death of your mother or your father or your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter. You know those feelings. That is what the women felt. They had seen Jesus die a gruesome death. They had seen a soldier pierce his side to make sure that he was dead. And then they peeled him off the cross. And it was not some shell of a body. No, God had suffered and died that day. His body had the look, the weight, and the feel of a corpse. The same kind you put into the ground. The women saw Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus put Jesus' body into a tomb, and they knew a stone was placed there, and they knew that guards were guarding it. They didn't come with Easter lilies. They certainly didn't come with victorious songs on their lips or hoping to catch some old friends in the process. They came to see the place where he was laid dead, just to grieve death's victory. Now suppose they saw what they had expected to see. That when they came to the tomb, they saw the soldiers and the rock rolled over the tomb, but there was an angel sitting atop of that rock. Now many will maintain in the world that the resurrection is purely an idea. It's a drug. It's an opiate. It's something to help you live your life here and now. Or that it's an idea that will help you to follow the teachings of a rabbi named Jesus, but who didn't really rise from the dead. Now imagine that angel sitting on that rock saying the sorts of things that we say at funerals with the best of intentions to comfort and assure the bereaved. Imagine those words coming out of the mouth of that angel. Don't be afraid. Jesus lives on in your heart and in your memories. Don't be afraid. Jesus is looking down on you from heaven and he is smiling. The angel says, don't be afraid. Jesus is where he wants to be. He's in a better place. The angel says, don't be afraid. Time will heal all your wounds. I tell you, if such things came out of that angel's mouth that day, rest assured, I would not be here. I would not be standing here preaching to you this morning. For what would be the point? Think about it. If the resurrection of Jesus is just a grand idea, you can have it. If the resurrection is just an idea for us to live our life here and now, for most of us, we think we have done just fine already. I've gotten this far without the resurrection. Why do I need it now? If it's just an idea to follow the teachings of Jesus and be nice like Jesus was nice and to love like Jesus has loved, you can have that too. Why? Because being nice to people and truly loving people is hard work. It's too much work. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then what are we all doing here? What is the point of anything? St. Paul, he nails it, as it was quoted in the Sunrise Sermon. If in Christ we have hope only in this life, then we are a people most to be pitied. We are the greatest fools on the entire earth. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you are still in your sins. So eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there is no resurrection, and then this is it. It's the end. So you know what? So go ahead and sin all the more because grace doesn't abound and life has not been resurrected. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. What you see with your eyes is what you get, and that is it. If Paul says that we are buried with Christ in his death and in his resurrection by holy baptism, I have no idea what that means. If there is no resurrection of the dead, think about it. Why would Jesus come back? For what? It's over. The end. And then all there is this. Silence. But then a trumpet sounds. And we hear from St. Paul that it's not over. It's not over by a long shot. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The women didn't encounter an idea, a ghost, a zombie, the walking dead, but a new creation body, a resurrected body, the first of its kind, but certainly not the last of its kind. Jesus would not rest in peace. Silly Romans, they put the guards on the wrong side of the tomb. The angels didn't come down to let Jesus out. They came down to let the women in. How about that? Jesus rose from the dead. He was actually dead, just like you and I will be dead. And like all your loved ones who are dead. But he actually rose, just like you will rise, like all your loved ones have risen. So when St. Paul says that you are joined in Christ's resurrection and his death by baptism, it's not an idea, it's not a metaphor, it's not a figure of speech, it's not an analogy. It's reality. It's reality because it's Jesus' reality. Jesus rose from the dead, and that makes all the difference in the entire world. And so you know that you are raised with him. And so we see in Colossians, you are to seek the things that are above. The eternal things, not the earthly things. Now, this doesn't mean that you walk around with your head in the clouds and your eyes in the sky and you're just simply wandering around wondering what heaven will be like. La, 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 la. Those women came to the tomb thinking and seeking earthly things. That is death. But the angel said, no, seek the above things. Seek the one who is above. And on their way, they run into the above things. The life of Christ. Christ himself, who has interrupted the earthly things so that the earthly things can never be the same as they once were. So we think we are about the business of life, but we really are about the business of death. We do the sorts of things that people do who are about the business of death. We focus on the world. We focus on getting more stuff. We focus on extending this life, making it look like we are not really dying. And we do stupid things. Case in point, and it's from my home state too. A mother, a couple years ago, injected her 8-year-old daughter with Botox for a beauty pageant because she said, quote, that wrinkles don't look nice on little girls. We think we are about the business of life. But we are actually about the business of death. Amusing ourselves, pretending that we're not dying. Now, Christians fool themselves too. All this time we thought we were learning how to live in peace so that we could rest in peace once we were dead. But in reality, we have been learning how to die in peace so that we can live in peace. That's what the Lord's Supper teaches you and gives to you. If Jesus was raised from the dead, that means that your body will also be raised from the dead. And if your body is raised from the dead, that means that what you do in your body matters. And it matters all the more because what you do in the body is evil and sin. But what has been done in your body has been taken away by another body. The body of the Lamb, the flesh of the Lamb that you eat, the blood of the Lamb that you drink. So we are going about the business of death, and God sends His messengers, His meal, to interrupt us with the business of life. So if you have your eyes on the things of earth, seek the things above, where your life is hidden. Because when He is revealed to you in the world on the last day, you too will be revealed for what you have been made in Christ. Christ is risen from the dead. He is not here, but He has gone ahead of you into death, unto life. And He's going to pull you through all of it. He's going to pull you through all your death into life. Like the body that follows the head of a baby being born. See, I have told you. We, called and ordained servants of Christ, by His authority and His word speak. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I forgive you all your sins in the name of Jesus. Take, eat, and take, drink the blood of Christ and the flesh of Christ. This is where He greets you. And you don't fall on your faces in fear. No, you bend your knee in reverence to eat and take Him in your hands and your mouth. You eat of Him who is life. And in this meal, He again interrupts the business of our death with the business of life. So finally, yesterday was the seventh day, Holy Saturday, and Jesus rested from all the work that He had done in making you His new creations. And now today is the eighth day. It's a new creation day. It's a resurrection day. It's the Lord's day. Today the new creation is here, for after He rose, you now eat the new creation body, the resurrected body of Christ. And that is proof of your dominion over death and hell and sin. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Why? Because it's Jesus Christ's day. He is the day. And in Him, the author of light, who brings the sunrise and who brings the beginning of life, saying of Himself, I am the light of the day, and whoever is in Me does not stumble and fall into the darkness of death. That is to say, whoever follows Christ in all things will by His promise receive the crown of eternal life and the throne of eternal light. In Jesus' precious name, Amen.